I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is Business Wise. Our guests today are Dan Dressman and Carolyn Rolfes. Dan is the Executive Director of the Home Builders Association of Greater Cincinnati. And Carolyn is the President of Potter Hill Homes, and she is the current HBA President. So Homerama is right around the corner, and this is a big one for the HBA. This is the 50th Homerama. And Carolyn, how many builders will be participating in Homerama this year?
This year we have 6 builders and 6 beautiful houses.
What's the price range of the homes this year?
It really ranges from the mid-sixes up to $1 million.
I love to go to Homerama just to get ideas, see even the beautiful flowers and the landscaping. So it's not for people who are in the market for a new home exclusively.
That is right. Probably the vast majority of people that go to Homerama, that's really one of their motivating factors for going to the show. You're going to see some fantastic outdoor living spaces, including the zero energy home that she's probably going to address a little bit later. You're going to see a lot of smart home features included, some spectacular entertainment centers, energy saving features, rain garden, for instance. Also, a lot of theme rooms in every one of the homes.
What's a zero energy home, Carolyn?
Well, our house, the Potter Hill home, is called the zero energy home, and that is because the house will actually have zero energy costs. The home will pay for its own utility bills. We were talking about it just a moment ago earlier, and he was saying that he loved his older home, but gosh, wouldn't it be nice to have a 5,000 square foot home that had zero utility bills. So it really starts with better construction technology, including 2x6 exterior walls, which is 50% more energy efficient because of the insulation amount that goes in those exterior walls, and then it ends with some solar panels that are on the roof.
What about the smart homes? I guess they've evolved quite a bit over the years, too.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things you're going to be able to do, there's a lot more mobile devices now that have apps controlling your HVAC, for instance, in your home, security systems, all those types of things. So there's a lot more technology than ever before, in particular in this year's show.
So when Crystal turns the thermostat down, I can just pull out my smartphone and turn it back up and she won't know?
Well, if you buy the zero energy house, you'll be able to tell exactly how much energy she's using every time she opens up the refrigerator.
Oh, good. That's just what we need. Carolyn, let me go back to that for a moment. That just seems amazing that you could have zero energy costs. What about like electric?
Well, so the home will end up paying approximately $1,200 per year to the power company. But those solar panels that I alluded to on the roof, there's a 5-kilowatt solar panel system. And solar panels not only produce electricity, they also produce these invisible certificates that nobody cares about except for the power companies who want to buy the right to claim your solar production. So they buy these solar renewable energy credits, or SRECs. And so you actually get a check in the mail on a quarterly basis, typically, and it helps offset that $1,200 per year that you're spending on your utility bills.
How has the show evolved?
Well, I think what we've seen over the years, you're seeing a lot more open floor plans, more so than you've ever seen before. Of course, energy efficiency is a major concern now with every homeowner. So there's a whole lot of energy efficiency systems built into every one of the new homes that are in this show. 2+ garages. Gourmet kitchens are big these days. As I mentioned before, outdoor living spaces are really important for people. Elaborate entertainment centers, all kinds of stuff like that.
How long does it go?
It runs from June 8th through June 24th, and people can get discounted tickets at any Kroger store for $11. And also, if they have a AAA card, you can show that at the gate and get the same discount.
And the show is located?
Willows Bend. It's right off of Ward's Corner Road, right off of I-275. Also, you can get all kind of information on that show and other shows that we offer through the course of 2012 at www.cincybuilders.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Today, our guests are Dan Dressman and Carolyn Rolfes. Dan is the Executive Director of the Home Builders Association of Greater Cincinnati, and Carolyn is the President of the Home Builders Association and also President of Potter Hill Homes. And the Home Builders Association is about to start its 50th Homerama. Tell
that
us a little bit.
That is correct. Well, we're very excited about this year's golden anniversary of Homerama, which started in 1962 at a site in Finneytown, believe it or not. This will be our 50th show. It's going to be at Willows Bend, which is right off of Ward's Corner, 275. It's a Howe Homes development. We're going to have 6 builders in the show, and excited to say that 3 of the 6 houses are already sold.
And the show runs?
The show dates are June 9th through the 24th.
Dan, what makes Homerama so popular? It seems like you get thousands of people there every year. Not all of them are looking to buy one of those homes, are they?
No, I think the vast majority of people that go to Homerama are typically those that are looking for decorating ideas. There's some terrific decorating ideas. You can get the latest trends in design as well, and that seems to be the major attraction.
And Carolyn, this is the first year, correct, that your organization, Potter Hill, has had a home in Homerama?
Yes, that's right.
Why did you choose to build this year?
Well, it was sort of a culmination of a bunch of different factors. For one, Potter Hill Homes, we are debuting a premier collection of homes that fall into this Homerama category. So we did not offer this line of homes before, but we are now. And two, you know, I grew up in Claremont County, and this is practically my backyard. So I was really happy. I believe this is the first time the Homerama has been in Claremont County. And then, you know, certainly I'm the president of the Home Builders Association, and there's a long history of the president building in the home show. So that wasn't the defining factor, but everything just sort of came together and it felt right.
Let's switch gears just a little bit. Where do you see the home building industry at right now?
Well, I think what we've seen over the last year or two in particular, you know, it's been a challenging.
But you're still here. Which
we're
is
all
good...
survivors, and I think that most of the companies that are around today have made the kind of changes they need to make to be survivors and thrivers, you might say, in this new economy, whatever that ends up being. But we've seen pockets of enthusiasm all across the region.
And Carolyn, what are the challenges that you're facing as the president of an industry that unfortunately has really suffered?
Well, you know, membership is certainly still a challenge. And so what we've done with the Home Builders Association is really just tried to bring that value-added membership. So, you know, certainly we're probably the largest proponents of homeownership locally and nationally and at the state level. So we're continually advocating for homeownership.
And you provide your members a lot of value. I know that you have educational sessions for them.
Yeah, we have lots of benefits and services that we provide to our members. And one of our major focus areas is also advocacy. We are the spokesperson for the industry, and we try to safeguard affordability in home buying.
And again, this show is starts June the 9th. It runs until
through June 24th.
June 24th. But you're already planning next year's show, aren't you?
We've actually already selected a site for 2013. We're going to be officially announcing that at the show. We'll let you know in advance. It's going to be at Carriage Hill, which is in Liberty Township. It's a beautiful site. And Butler
County. I love
County.
To have breaking news on this program.
This is breaking news, but it's a great site, and we're anticipating we're going to have a great response.
And if folks like to get tickets
for this year's show, you can get discounted tickets for $11 at any Kroger store. And if you're a AAA member, all you have to do is show your card at the gate, and you'll get in for $11, $2 discount. We're going to have discount Military Monday, where if you're in the military, you get $3 off on our two Mondays.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Karen Finan. Karen is the Senior Vice President for Tri-County Economic Development, which is also known as Triad. Triad is now celebrating its 25th anniversary, but I think a lot of people aren't really sure exactly what Triad is all about and what its mission. Maybe you can share.
This organization is the lead economic development organization for Boone, Kenton, and Campbell counties. We work hard every day to attract and retain primary industry companies, companies like Toyota Manufacturing, companies like Fidelity Investments, and many, many others to the area. So as a lead economic development organization, we work with a number of communities, companies, allies to create the best workforce and environment for success.
If a business wants to locate in Northern Kentucky, you're kind of the gateway organization that they first come to, aren't you, for getting
Absolutely.
Information about locations, economic incentives, even workforce?
Absolutely. We will work whether a company comes to us or we go out and attract the company through a variety of business development strategies. We are typically the first stop. Maybe they need a real estate solution. We're able to work with the local brokerage community and the area developers to find them the facility that works for them.
As a region, we all work together. I know that we are in different states, mm-hmm. Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana. Do you find that a problem in terms of one state trying to effectively poach companies from the other state? How do you deal with that?
It is to our benefit that Cincinnati succeeds, and to market as a region greatly benefits Northern Kentucky. That being said, that's how we depend on Cincinnati USA. We go out, we market Cincinnati because, frankly, on the international and national front, it is competitive with other states and other areas. So it's very important that we have a landing mark. Cincinnati is a big draw. Once the project comes into the market, we are able to compete for those projects. Because of the economic downturn, there is quite a bit of competition. And it not only comes from the communities, but also from the real estate world. And within their own private entity, they're going out to find business for their own portfolios. So it's a little bit of a competitive environment, but it's very important for Cincinnati to do well in order for Northern Kentucky to thrive.
What are some of the results that you can point to that you've been able to accomplish?
Over the last 25 years, and again, our focus is on primary industry companies. So we don't go after the retail or the things that will occur as a result of primary industry being in the market. But we can point to major industry giants like Fidelity, Toyota, Mobia, just a number of other companies. As a result, over 539 companies have located or expanded in Northern Kentucky, accounting for 51,000 jobs, primary industry jobs, and billions of dollars in capital investment. So over a 25-year period, there has been a very strategic approach to growing Northern Kentucky.
If people would like more information, Karen, about Triad, what's your website?
Our website is northernkentuckyusa.com or 859-344-0040.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Elizabeth Edwards. Elizabeth is the founder of Cincinnati Innovates. And let's talk about Cincinnati Innovates, which runs until July 15th.
I'm a native Cincinnatian. And I think like a lot of native Cincinnatians, we look around at all of these great Fortune 500, these corporations that have a ton of really creative and accomplished people. And when I joined a venture capital fund here, a seed stage fund, I was anticipating that we would just have an incredible amount of deal flow as a result of the talented people that live here. And I was a little unpleasantly surprised that the phone wasn't ringing off the hook. And what I realized was at the time, and this was about 5 years ago, we weren't really promoting entrepreneurship. And entrepreneurship wasn't even really on the federal radar. We have a ton of great programs now at the federal, state, and local level to support entrepreneurs. But really at the time, you weren't hearing about it in the media. And so we created Cincinnati Innovates, which is a regional innovation competition to really highlight some of the great ideas and companies that people were starting right here in Cincinnati, but also just create an open call for folks to enter the competition because we give $100,000 in awards. So that's a pretty good reason.
It sure is. It's a big incentive.
We went to your award ceremony last year, and it was really interesting to me some of the neat ideas people had for businesses.
It's been a great experience for me as an early stage investor and also as an entrepreneur myself, just to see what people are working on. And it really goes far beyond the typical, you know, iPhone app idea or website idea. We have a ton of those, but we see products and we see, you know, world-changing and life-saving technologies. One winner last year was a stroke diagnostic headband. When students, so this was a group of UC students who put this together, they focused on solving the main problem of stroke, which is diagnosing which kind of stroke you have. And their technology is incredible. And it's, you know, something that will, you know, save lives and prevent disability. That's a huge thing. And that's something that's, you know, literally changing the world. That's something that we discovered just through the competition.
What I personally love about this competition is that you don't have to have a product developed already, correct? You don't have to have a full-blown business plan.
One of the main drivers behind the competition was just the fact that, hey, we have so many resources for entrepreneurs. It's not a business plan competition because a lot of entrepreneurs actually need help with writing the business plan and figuring out what the cash flow statement should look like and the budget. What we wanted to do was connect people with all of those resources. We have 25 sponsors, and you can go to CincinnatiInnovates.com and check out all the awards and check out all of the sponsors. It's so important to get those mentors and that support, and we wanted to create a mechanism for that to happen.
The competition again. You can actually make the application online until July 15th, and the actual award ceremony is right here on the campus of WNKU at Griffin Hall on
August 16th.
And again, if folks would like to go online just to check it out, the website is
CincinnatiInnovates.com.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is Business Wise. Today, our guest is Elizabeth Edwards. Elizabeth is the founder of Cincinnati Innovates and is also a venture capital advisor to people making venture capital investments and seeking venture capital investments. I know you teach a course in entrepreneurial finance, and 20 years ago, entrepreneurial finance was how many credit cards you could put together.
Right, exactly.
It's really changed, hasn't it?
You know, and in a good way. I think that what you're seeing today is a lot of attention at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level on entrepreneurship and how important it is as a driver of economic growth and stability. We've come a long way in formalizing the process of starting a business, and we have great mentors and accelerator programs here locally. A lot of advisors, you know, contribute to these programs and help entrepreneurs get started, which is so important. It's true, we didn't really hear a whole lot about entrepreneurship 5 years ago even, but I like to use the analogy that, you know, entrepreneurs are like the seedlings and saplings in the forest, and we really need them as part of the overall health of that forest, because we're actually pretty lucky here as a region that we have the big sequoias that are our Fortune 500 companies. But the interesting fact is that the average age of a Fortune 500 company is about 40 to 50 years. That's their average lifespan. The average age of a Cincinnati Fortune 500 is about 115 years. So that tells me two things. One, they're well managed, so we're lucky there, but they're getting old. So we really need to pay attention and focus on, you know, what's the next chapter for our local economy.
If we all come together to help other startups, mm-hmm. then we all, it's just a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. It contributes to the overall health and diversity of our economy. And really, you know, the corporation age, you know, sort of the formalization of large companies in the public markets and that the capital flows, that has fundamentally changed a lot about our local economies. And I think we're kind of out to lunch on some of this, which is to say that we have a stock market that's based in, you know, mostly New York City, right? And so when we invest in publicly traded companies, there's a capital flow element there. There's also one when it comes to early stage capital. This is the capital that funds startup companies. 75% of the world's venture capital is in the U.S. 50% of it is in California. So we really, really have to pay attention to where we are investing our local dollars. It's so important to reinvest in our local economy, to invest in those, you know, new startup companies. And I think you're seeing a lot of corporations and family offices do so here in the region.
What to me is very frustrating is as a community, we work and we try to get these startups started. Mm-hmm. And then a big fund out of California comes and puts investment in them. And in essence, they move.
That generally happens at the earlier stages. So I don't know if you saw The Social Network, which is about, you know, the Facebook story and Mark Zuckerberg moving from the campus of Harvard out to Palo Alto and Accel Ventures, you know, making an investment in that company and really, you know, forcing that to happen. But we have a local company here, AssureRx. They just raised a big growth round of capital from Sequoia and also Claremont Ventures, which are both based in California. There was no requirement that they move at that time. They have, I think, maybe 50, 100 people working there. So that would be an expensive move.
That would be. Elizabeth, we're out of time today. But again, the Cincinnati Innovates, a competition, goes till July 15th in terms of applications. The website is
CincinnatiInnovates.com. And it's $100,000 in grants. So definitely enter.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today was Jeanne Dreisette, and she is the shareholder at Katz Teller Branton Heald, which is a law firm here in Cincinnati. But she's here today as a founding member and chair of Social Venture Partners of Cincinnati. And maybe you can share what Social Venture Partners is all about.
Social Venture Partners is an organization here in Cincinnati that tries to apply the concept of venture capitalism to the nonprofit world. So what we are is a group of persons who have made commitments of both time and money to work with the nonprofits that are here in town to help them build their capacity in whatever means they need. So whether it's working with them to help them determine how they want to grow their organization, how they want to achieve their goals, set up their strategic planning, board development, fundraising, marketing, really any concept that would help them to grow and improve their organization so that they can deliver their mission and their services in a better fashion.
What Social Venture Partner does is not only give these organizations money, but a lot of time and talent of your members.
Exactly. In fact, what I would say is kind of the differentiator is while we do commit to funding these organizations, we do a couple of different things differently. Number one is we commit to giving them not only a grant of money, but really a grant of our time. And what we do is we assign a team of people that will work with that organization. And we also do it over a period of years. Our partners, we feel, are very resource rich in terms of their experience. We have a multitude of folks who come both from the business world and in the nonprofit world who have a great deal of experience running their own businesses, dealing with all of these types of issues. So you're really bringing these folks that would be prohibitively expensive in terms of providing their time and talent as consultants to these organizations and providing both their particular skills, but also their network of contacts to the nonprofit for free.
What type of members are you looking for? What type of partners?
We really would love to involve anyone who has an interest in being engaged in their philanthropic giving. And what I mean by that is if you are interested in doing more than just writing a check to an organization, you want to partner with an organization in a way that's different than just being a board member or volunteering your time, but really to make that dual commitment of both money and time and expertise to the organization.
But I think so many more people are really looking for how those dollars are really going to help fund the charitable purpose. What are they doing to really make a difference in their specific area? Do you all hold their feet to the fire in that respect too?
Well, what I would say to you is what we're trying to do is make sure that what they are doing is set, that they are set up in the best possible way for them to succeed in their mission. I would actually tell you that a lot of the research says that the focus on how much of the dollars goes to providing services versus the infrastructure of the organization is somewhat misleading. And so if you just look at that by itself, the reality is that most nonprofits could benefit by a commitment of time and money in building their own structure so that they are able to then leverage that to delivering the service that they are trying to provide. What we do is really allow them to do that. You know, the grants we give are unrestricted. They can use it for a program. They can use it for operations however they please. But the bigger issue is that the kind of work they typically would shy away from doing because it involves dollars expended on their own infrastructure and their own capacity building, which I think, as you say, a lot of times from an accountability standpoint, people are concerned about, we try to do that for them.
And if you'd like more information about Social Venture Partners, the website is
www.svpcincinnati.org.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Wajdan Dreset. And Wajdan is an attorney with Katz Teller Branton Hield, but she also is one of the founding members and the chair of Social Venture Partners here in Cincinnati. And Social Venture Partners is really bringing that capital in terms of money and resources to these nonprofits to help them become better.
Our approach is to really apply that concept that has been in the for-profit world to the nonprofit world. So, for example, our first investee here in town was the Civic Garden Center, and they came to us at a crucial point in their history. That's a successful organization. It's had a long-standing history of doing great work in the community. They were about to launch a project called the Green Learning Station, where they were going to take a gas station, convert it, and really use it as a way to educate and highlight green technology in Cincinnati. They came to us because they needed not only some of the funding, but frankly, some of the resources in terms of being able to manage that project and decide how it would proceed, fundraise for them, work with them on board development, etc. One of the things we were able to do was to get involved with them and fairly quickly work with them on developing how that project would work, talk to them about how they could tailor that project so that it really, in the end, what the final project is much more aligned with what their mission and their vision has been for their particular organization, and then work with them in terms of the project management and developing a strategic and business plan for that project. It has been a great success. I'm happy to report that they broke ground and they are underway on that project. And it has been, I think, a great success, certainly from our perspective. And I think they would tell you, in fact, Vicky Ciotti, their director, I love her quote that she said, when I first attended the meeting, I thought I could probably put up with these people for the money. Now she says, if you didn't give us a red cent, we would absolutely value the time and the energy and the consulting work that you've done with us.
What focus do you have? Do you have an environmental focus, or is it just depend on the need at the time?
Well, we started out with a focus in the environment, and we've been working with three different investees in that area, Civic Garden Center, Gorman Heritage Farm, and Imago for the Earth. But last year, we decided to add another focus area to our portfolio, and that is the transforming the lives of children and youth at risk. That's our current investment cycle. When we're looking for nonprofits, those are the kinds of organizations that we're seeking in this particular year to work with an organization that focuses in that area.
Someone listening today has an organization that fits into that category. How would they go about applying for these resources?
Well, I would ask them to contact us at www.svpcincinnati.org. We are currently requesting letters of intent for them to provide us with an idea of what they'd like us to do to engage with them in terms of dollars and time. And we are then going to undertake a grant cycle, an investment process that reviews those letters of intent, goes through a full proposal, site visits, etc., typical to what a normal investment would be, but that really tries to determine if we have the right fit for them. Typically, we have been trying to do that every year if we have the people capacity and the interest in doing so. So this is a year-long process for us.
Is the duration of your involvement a year, or do you stay involved longer than
that? We actually commit to stay involved with them at least 3 years. And the Civic Garden Center, for example, we're just completing our fourth year of work with them, both in terms of contributing, again, dollars and time to them. So it is a long-term engagement, even though the process of seeking an investee, we typically have been choosing one per year. We're always seeking people who not only want to use their time and resources in that way, but it's also a way for us to become educated as philanthropists, to really learn about the nonprofit world and become better, more strategic givers.
And it's social.
Certainly second that. And I would say to you that it has put me in touch with a lot of folks that I probably wouldn't have come across in my day-to-day life.
And one more time, the website is
www.svpcincinnati.org.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner, and Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Aisha Armstrong. Aisha is the president and owner of MomCore here in Cincinnati. And Aisha, we're right at that time of the year where college graduations are occurring, even high school graduations. There's so much uncertainty out there, I think, for college students who are now looking for a job. What advice do you have for a college student to be the best prepared that they can be in looking for the job that really suits them?
Yeah, so the first piece of advice would be to network. So I read a statistic recently that said 80% of jobs are found through networking. And by networking, I mean thinking about the companies where they'd be interested in working and trying to find people at those companies that maybe their parents know, their friends know, their professors know, and set up informational interviews with those people.
And at MomCore, you actually provide workplace solutions on a temporary basis. So what kind of attributes should someone really focus on as they try to make themselves the best that they can be in the eyes of a future employer?
Yeah, so the one thing that I'm hearing a lot about from employers right now, in addition to technology skills and things like that, is this kind of personality attribute called drive. Some people call it grit, but it's the ability of someone to really stick with something and work hard when they need it. And so they're trying in their interview process to understand, does that person really have that drive and that hunger to stick with something, especially when you're an entry-level employee like a recent college grad and may have to pay your dues for a while before you get that dream job?
You know, that's a hard thing, I think, for a young person to understand, because in many cases, you know, a young person's really never had to have that kind of experience.
Yeah. So I think the question college grads should be listening for in interviews is, tell me about a time when you encountered a challenge and how did you overcome that challenge? So that could be an academic challenge they can can talk about. If they have had internships, it could be a work challenge, or it could be one from athletics or other extracurricular activities.
And the key, though, isn't it, is to practice?
Yeah, absolutely. Practice interviewing and do research on the companies that you're interviewing with. Demonstrate that you've spent time to really understand their business model, understand their strategy, and maybe come prepared with ideas for things that they could do to acquire new customers or develop new products.
And then just the whole idea of career choice. So what advice do you have in terms of picking career paths?
Yeah, so the first one would be don't assume that your career path is going to be linear. I mean, be realistic about the need for flexibility that you might have as you go through your life, whether it's a sabbatical or a maternity leave, and think about careers that'll support that type of flexibility.
Because most likely, if there's a relationship in terms of marriage, both of you will be working.
Oh, absolutely. And the example I like to use is, you know, there's a big difference between an M&A attorney and an estate attorney. Both are in the legal field, but the lifestyle is very, very different.
Yes, in terms of the M&A attorney, the type of hours and stress, whereas the estate attorney, you're probably not getting called in the middle of the night.
Exactly. The hours are much more predictable.
Yes. And if people would like more information about MomCorps, Aisha,
they should go to momcorps.com, and that's MomCorps with an S on the end of it, like Marine Corps.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is BusinessWise. My guest today is Mike Monahan. Mike is the CEO and Executive Director of Life Success Seminars. He's also an author of From the Jungle to the Boardroom. You've been very involved in Life Success Seminars for how many years?
I've been executive director for 17 years now. I went through the seminar originally 25 years ago.
You know, I've never gone through Life Success Seminars, but I will tell you, what's fascinating to me is the number of people, high-level executives in many cases, they've gone through Life Success Seminars, and they all talk about this transformational moment. You can see it in their eyes and in their voice. Whatever you do at Life Success Seminars has had a major impact on their lives. What is it that you do that causes that?
Sure. Give me the tough questions here, Crystal. I think we have a great process, and it's a discovery process where people take a look at how their life's operating. And I think most people believe that the great parts of their life they're in charge of. And so I think our process empowers people to own those areas that aren't working so well. And I think once you understand that you're in charge of the quality of your life each and every day, that's takes a lot of pressure off people, oddly enough, because you can quit acting like circumstances are controlling your life. You get to decide how you want to approach the events of your life. It's kind of like the movie Groundhog Day. You know, we can be trapped in our life or we can have freedom in the exact same life. And I think that is the process we have that frees people up.
Like you mentioned, you've been the executive director now for 17 years. Are you seeing people more stressed these days?
I don't know that they have any more problems. I think our approach has changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're getting a younger group of people. The suicide rate with teens is probably the highest ever. So we allow 16-year-olds in if their parents have gone through because we want them to have something to go back to. We're getting younger people, and I think we're getting younger family people. Our divorce rate's, 60%. So I think people are looking for tools to figure out how to better make their relationships work, how to get the results of their life on track. And I think we have a great track record and a lot of references.
So it's just improving the overall quality of your life for yourself and your family. What do you say to people who come to you and they just have a dream, right? They have an idea, they want to do something, but they don't know how to even start down the path to achieving that dream?
The first thing I tell them is fear is a feeling. You can be afraid not have what you want. You can be afraid and have what you want. If you wake up in the morning and you feel happy, you don't think I better go back to bed. So fear is just a feeling. And oftentimes we've interpreted that as I should stop doing what I'm doing. Well, feelings really don't dictate your behavior.
Have you ever been afraid?
I'm afraid all the time. But what I realize is it's an illusion that I can go after the things I want. It isn't going to make any difference. I was afraid when I wasn't doing it.
So you can experiment on me. My big problem, it seems like I try to cram way too much stuff in a day. Are you seeing other people like that? Hopefully you say yes.
the discovery process we would take you through is the idea of what is it that you're trying to prove mm-hmm. by doing all these things. We think that there's a way that you can find a simpler way to get your needs met that's more appropriate for you, so you don't have to use your whole life running around trying to prove something that you don't even believe yourself. That's mm-hmm. the funny thing about it. We try to prove to the world what we don't believe about ourselves, and we wear ourselves out doing it.
For Business Wise, I'm Crystal Faulkner. I'm with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Crystal Faulkner, and this is Business Wise. My guest today is Mike Monahan. Mike is the CEO and Executive Director of Life Success Seminars. And Mike, you've been leading Life Success Seminars for about 17 years. You've had a little more than, 13,000 folks go through the process. How does the process work?
The class that I teach, which is called the basic class, is a four-day class, Thursday evening, Friday evening, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. It's about 30 hours of seminar. I do it once a month. We have one other seminar that we do every other month that's a five-day on-site retreat where you stay there, sleep there, eat there. So we really have two pieces to our process. One's discovery, one's empowerment.
And what type of people come to these seminars?
Anybody from a cab driver, teacher, Joe Torre, who was the manager of the Yankees, Thane Maynard, top-level executives, Staples, Kroger.
So basically, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do for a career choice. You're saying most people can benefit from these types of seminars.
I'd say every person can benefit. There's times when I have a 16-year-old sitting next to a 75-year-old, and the message resonates with both of them.
How do you carve out that much time? I would assume the people that have done this, and many have, as you just mentioned, they just figure it's a priority.
Yeah, in fact, once they go through, they're usually renewing once a year, coming back and back. I tell people, to me, it's really simple. If you could spend 30 hours and then the rest of your life, you're going to show up as a better dad or mom, a better employer, a better leader, have more freedom, less stress, would it be worth the 30 hours of inconvenience? People do other things in life that are inconvenient all the time. I think behind that is a fear of what am I going to have to change? What am I going to have to do?
I think that's probably absolutely right. And on that point, let's talk about the difference between success and freedom when it comes to running a business, managing a business.
Yeah, I often have really successful people. I mean, I've had people who own 26 businesses, wildly successful, seen in the community as just did it all. And yet they're buried by the stress. And so they really don't have freedom in the way of balance in their life or getting to some of the things that are more important. And all of us have to decide what success means, because when we choose our passion, another area of our life is going to pay the price.
So a lot of it's about making choices and prioritizing things happening in your own life.
Well, things that are really important to you.
Right.
Because if you're doing what you love passionately, you're going to affect your world. And if you're just doing what you're doing, then it's kind of the world misses you and the people around you miss you, you know. The idea is we all have unique abilities. And if we would just each do our unique abilities and delegate everything else, the world would be a lot better place.
And you also have a book, Mike. Let's talk about your book. It's From the Jungle to the Boardroom. Who should buy the book?
I think if you're a decision maker, which I think is anyone, everyone has people following them. And so I think decision making is misinterpreted, because I think we get our feelings mixed up with the choices we make.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my book, I talk a lot about the misconceptions, I think, that really aren't talked about.
And where can people find the book?
You can go to Amazon or 800 CEO.
I'm Crystal Faulkner with Cooney Faulkner and Stevens, your business advocate.